And thank you guys for joining me. This is Lamont with the HVAC Apprentice Podcast. We're going to pick right back up where we left off. I just appreciate you guys again joining me, tuning in. And hopefully you're liking this series. It's not going to be extremely long. I mean, I'm not going to be doing this too often, but I did want to delve into this podcast because I do think there were some really good points and some key components that really need to be touched on from both myself and from Derek. And think you guys can really benefit from a lot of the talking points here, especially if you're moving from that regular working technician, the fix-it-all technician, and you're trying to transition into the more sales revenue focused technician. You can still be a fix-it-all technician and you can still make a lot of money, right? And you can still do right by your customers. You can still make sure that you're giving them options that they need and selling them things that will help better their life. You don't want to sell them anything they don't need. You don't want to sell them anything just to make money, just to get a high revenue ticket or whatever it is, high ticket average. You don't need to do all of that, you know what I mean? But you do need to identify what it is they really need in their homes, what it is that they're really struggling with. And you want to be able to pinpoint those things and present it in a way where it makes sense to them to go with you. All right. It's not a foolproof plan. Not everybody's going to do it, but you will see your numbers increase on a regular basis if you do implement some of these things. And if you are able to kind of structure your process in a way where you critique what you do afterwards, and then you can build and rebuild and just kind of hone and perfect the process. So we're going to get started right where we left off. And again, appreciate you guys for joining me.
It's really been a game changer for me, honestly.
That is just the poster for work smarter, not harder. Come on. Oh my goodness. But I get it. I totally get it. I feel like when you first join, we start a career, something like the service industry where output is so important, that like go, go, go mentality is something you really have to unlearn. So I imagine it was actually kind of scary when you first tried to implement SBE's process. Am I right in that?
Oh yeah. It was extremely scary because, you know, the first thing I thought about was how can I take care of my family? Because I'm losing hours on overtime here. You know, I pride myself in just being a really hard worker. I'm grateful Chuck pays me well because it allowed me to be able to see what I really needed to do. Because, I mean, if I was with any other company, I'd probably be running myself to the ground, honestly.
All right. I do want to stop here because I think that's extremely important. And the whole purpose of this podcast was to try to get you to a point where you can actually get paid for what you do and you get paid at a very good rate, right? So you want to be a technician that is constantly observing the company that you're working for, and you're wanting to see if those opportunities are there to grow, if the opportunities for a hourly wage increase is there. If not, I mean, you know, once you get your skills to the point where you can start being more confident in your abilities, then you can start moving to different companies or even, you know, searching out other companies, Facebook groups, or, you know, talk to other technicians, and you can see if a company pays well or not. I know I was capped out with my first company that I worked for. They didn't want to pay over, I think, $15 an hour or something like that. And they gave me a hard time for that. And, you know, when I originally got hired, I was only making $14 an hour. And this is in Virginia, like I said, to give you some sort of textual context. So $14 an hour 10 years ago was actually okay in the trades. They're starting off much higher than that now. But, you know, $15 an hour, I think I left there making maybe $15.50, and I was there for almost a year and a half. And everybody else was getting raises, you know, left and right. But they got started out really low at like $11 or $12 an hour. So some companies, man, their business model is to pay you a small amount per hour, right? And then they may offer you some commission, they may offer you some spliffs or incentives, but those are the things that you're going to have to look for. And, you know, quality of life is going to be something that's extremely important, right? You want to be able to do your job well, enjoy what you do, and then still have time to do everything else that you want to do after work too, right? And a lot of times it's going to take the income that you need or the income that you want to be able to do that, which means sometimes you may have to search out other companies. You know, you may have to, you know, see how other technicians are being paid and, you know, and with the same experience that you have, whether it be hourly pay or whether they have more commission, whether they have more spliffs, I said spliffs, maybe whether they have more spiffs, whatever it is. But you got to find out what company is actually going to offer you the most bang for your buck, right? And when you start really having that confidence to be able to kind of demand what you want, it comes in levels and ways. Of course, you're not going to be a 2-year tech asking for $30 an hour, right? But you do have to be able to develop skills that can say, hey, although I've only been in the field for 1 or 2 years, you know, my knowledge and experience level is that of somebody who's been in the field maybe 3 or 4 years, you know, and you kind of use that to your advantage. Constantly grow, constantly, you know, educate yourself, put yourself in a position to where you are not going to be the same tech you were 2 years ago, right? Constantly evolve. If you're not growing, you're dying, right? So just wanted to add that in there.
I'm 38, you know, I may have a few years left in me, but I need to take care of my body at this point in time. I have to make sure that I can make it home to my kids. So that those are some of the things that I really had to kind of hone in on when I was thinking about the negatives, and they weren't really negatives. I mean, because me working 80 hours a week, it was running, you know, too many hours at one time. It's just the process itself was a little difficult because, you know, you have to unlearn all of what you were learned, all of what you were taught before. And I think that's the
All right, and I think that's a really important piece right there, because you have to be able to challenge your mindset and strengthen your mindset, right? You can't learn new information and still keep the old information that is contrary to what you're learning in the database, right? You got to be able to unlearn that stuff, because throw it all out, man. I mean, the old way of doing things are not as successful as they used to be. We're in the age of information. We just are in a different era where, you know, you do have the ability to learn things extremely fast. But the only problem with that is you can learn the wrong things, and they could actually take you away from where you want to go. So unlearning those things and then getting into a position to where you can relearn new information that is going to be vital to your ability to transform as a technician, that is what you really want to focus on, right? Because you don't have to work yourself to death to be extremely successful. There is going to be some hard work in there. There is going to be some times where, you know, you will be working late nights, early mornings, right? But then there should be a time where it doesn't have to always be that way. There should be a time where you can actually just enjoy the experience that you have and kind of sit back and have things work on autopilot. I don't have to work 80, 90 hours a week anymore. I can do the same exact job, right, that I did 4 or 5 years ago, and do it almost half the time, or even do it in a way where it is extremely proficient now, right? I'm not wasting a lot of time because I've learned how to do things the right way. Muscle memory sets in, and this gives me the opportunity to be more proficient in what I do, which means I can actually charge more and spend less time doing the job. It's extremely important. We got to get to this point where you are extremely confident in your ability to do things. It's not saying that you won't mess up, because there are going to be times where you will mess up. There's a mistake, there's a misstep, what have you. But you have to be able to bounce back from that and not, you know, basically take as minimal damage from that as possible, right? So, you know, I think that's extremely important to do. Remember, like, the matrix, unlearning and then relearning everything. And you're in a position where you can pretty much conquer the matrix. When Neo was able to fly, that was like the most iconic portion of that movie, especially in I think that was the end of the first one. And then he came back on the second movie, and he was just an extreme beast. He was totally different from what he was in the first movie. But it's the unlearning and then relearning concept and relearning the right things that you need to learn to be able to, you know, go where you want to go in life.
I think that's the most difficult process, because once you are in the customer's house, your muscle memory kind of kicks in, right? And you kind of do things that you're used to doing that don't really net you a lot of money. And with me, I had to forcefully change, because after every call, I'm saying to myself, how many opportunities did I miss here? You know, how fast did I go through this call? And yeah, the customer's cooling, but they still have mold on the registers. They still have leaks in the ductwork. They still have other things that I didn't address because I just wanted to get in and out. And when that started to kind of shine a light on what was going on, and I saw my colleagues making way more money than me with less experience and working less hours, and I had to say to myself, okay, well, what are they doing that I'm not doing? So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm really happy that you shared that with me. I will also say, I'm 38. I have a couple good years left. I'm 33, and I hope I have many good years left, Juan. So I just want to offer that to you. I will. You're like, you. This is now the second time you mentioned that you're an old man. I'm like, how old? I'm like looking at you through the webcam. I'm like, how old is this man? Like, you're like, I'm 38.
I'm one of the older guys. I'm one of the older guys at the job. So they look at me like the old man.
I'm just going to pretend I never heard that. But when you're doing something scary, right, when you're trying to override that muscle memory, it's so important to have a process in place, which is really why we're here to talk about today, right?
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about, well, actually, I think you might have answered it a bit. Maybe you can expand upon this. Like, what's the difference between using a selling process and not using one? You mentioned muscle memory kicks in, and it sounds like you really just don't do the customer any favors because you fix their one thing and you don't bother to check in and see what else you can offer for them. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So at every company I've worked for, we've always had some form of commission, and a lot of times the commission was only based on the leads that you were produced for the comfort advisors. So the comfort advisors would be called, and then they would sell the equipment. You get a kickback off of that. All right, this is the first time where we pretty much get paid on everything that we do, right? And well, it's kind of weird because when you say the sales process, it kind of makes it sound a little, you know, I guess unjust in a way, because you know, sales just has a bad rep. You know what I mean? So a lot of times with the process, if I'm following the process properly, a lot of my customers thank me at the end. They write me letters. I mean, they'll send good reviews on Google or whatever it is that we use for our reviews here. And, you know, I'm not used to that. I'm not used to having a product in front of me, buying that product, and then thanking the person that sold me the product. So it's, for me, I really look at it like my customer has some really serious needs that need to be addressed. A lot of times they don't know the business, they don't know the industry, so they don't know why they feel the way they do when they get home. I had a customer the other day tell me, he says, you know, I bought this house 10 years ago, everything was fine. And then he said, my wife just started developing like terrible allergies, my daughter developed asthma. And when I walked through the house with him and I said, Mrs. So-and-so, how long has, you know, this black stuff been here on your registers? And he says, well, I just started noticing that a couple of years ago. I said, a couple of years ago? Wow. I said, so when did you say that you started having asthma issues or your daughter started having asthma issues? He said, well, about a couple of years ago. I never thought it was related. And I said, well, it could be, but, you know, the system that you're relying on to give you air, to give you heat, to give you cooling is also blowing all of that through the air as well. So it's like, there are things that, you know, products that we offer that, of course, we sell them, but these are products that I believe in, that I have in my own house. So, you know, for me, it's not a...
So I think that's important right there, because if you don't believe in what you're selling, the customer won't believe it either, right? And I already said, I'm not going to sell a customer something they don't need. And a lot of times when we do have a new product that's offered, I'll typically want to be the one who tests it out first, because I'm just not going to be that guy that just sells something just to sell it, right? So I've actually had success with the air scrubber. I did not have too much success with the Remy Halo. So I took it out of my house. And when I replaced it with the air scrubber, I love it. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, we offer both products. but I'm going to be completely honest with the customers, and I'm going to let them know what works for me. And, you know, if they do their own research and they think that the Remy Halo is a better option, then I'm not going to discourage them from getting that. But if they ask my opinion, I'll be completely honest with them. And I think that's one thing that really has helped me as well, is because, you know, I have gone through the process of buying a house. I'm a homeowner now, so I do have some, you know, some insight in regards to the pain they may feel when they have to replace the system, because these are big ticket items. I mean, you know, just renting an apartment, I never really thought about how much an expense replacing a unit would be, replacing a roof, you know, maybe replacing siding or whatever it is that you know, is going on in the house. You may have a floor project, a kitchen project. So these customers are having all of these things happening. And a lot of times, when I'm in their homes and they're distressed, it's because they have all of this stuff going on at one time. It's very rare I go to a customer's house and the only thing that's wrong with the house is the AC unit. You know, it's always, well, you know, I wanted to wait a couple more years to replace the AC because I got the roof that needs to be replaced in about 4 years or so, or I have flooring that needs to be redone. I have a kitchen that's outdated, needs to be updated. You know, it's always something else that's going on. So it's not just, you know, the AC unit that they're thinking about. They may have plumbing issues. They may have other electrical issues. They may have crawl space issues. They may have attic insulation issues. So there are always going to be other things that they're thinking about. And your job is to kind of help them and guide them in a direction to, you know, kind of provide some sort of funnel for them, right? So AC, of course, is important to us, and AC is important to them because it's their comfort. And once your comfort level is amiss or your comfort level is out of whack, everything seems to irritate you, right? So, you know, our job is to really kind of guide and direct them in a way where, you know, maybe they may not have to replace the entire system, right? Maybe it may be some things that we can do to rectify some of the situations that they have. Maybe it's a duct cleaning, sanitization, and then adding an air scrubber for allergy issues. Maybe it's not replacing the whole duct system, right? Even if it is, you know, 20 years old, maybe they may still have another 10 years left in the duct system. But we can do something to prolong it. Maybe we can duct seal the system. Maybe we can, you know, do other things to help with just the unit itself. And a lot of times when we are in the house and the system is old, they typically do think that, you know, he's going to tell me I need to replace. And we do see that a lot. I get that a lot from my customers. Of course, I am going, in front of customers that have systems that are older than 10, 15 years old or so. So in the back of their mind, they already know they got to replace it at some point. And your job is to just guide them to make the decision that is right for them. You're not forcing them to do it, but you're kind of like holding them by the hand in a way and saying, hey, this is an opportunity for you to actually, you know, add value to your house. This is the opportunity for you to kind of get rid of the issues that you were having with the breathing problem in your house, right? This is an opportunity for you to clean the ducts or, introduce a new component into the house that is going to maximize your comfort levels. You know, maybe it's a new thermostat, whatever it is that the customer is pretty much expressing to you during this process of you just entering their home. It's up to you to kind of catch the context clues, right? You have to be a detective in a way and figure out what it is that the customer is actually asking for, because they're not just going to outright and say it, but you have to be able to uncover it and discover these things. And, you know, that again is going to add to your value as a technician. Yes, technical technicians are really great. Technical technicians help keep, you know, companies afloat. Installers are extremely important. But guess what? If we're not selling, if we're not putting our installers in a position to where they have a system to sell, they don't get to work, right? And what I've noticed is a lot of customers, they want to buy new systems. They do, man. Everybody likes a new shiny thing, right? But a lot of times it is the financial aspect that they kind of cringe over, because how much is it going to cost? And is this something that I'm going to have to dig into savings to get? If I don't have a savings, do you guys offer financing? What are your terms? Like, how long am I going to be paying for this thing? So it's your job to make them comfortable enough to say, hey, I can make this decision without actually stressing myself, without actually breaking the bank, because it is possible. Now, I know every technician that's listening to this, all of you guys aren't selling technicians, right? There are some technicians who solely work on units, who solely fix units, who solely install units. But I do see a shift that's happening, and I think that more companies are going to be moving towards the service sales technician, right? And I don't think it's too far behind. I think a lot of companies are starting to realize how much money that they're leaving on the table and how much money that the service guys are just, you know, not really taking advantage of. And more companies are going to be moving towards a model where the technician can offer options, talk over these options with customers, and possibly sign contracts. And I kind of seen this happening for a while now. I mean, when I got into trades 10 years ago, this is something that they were almost focusing on, but it was a hybrid of sorts. So, you know, we didn't actually sell the units, but we did refer the units to the comfort advisors, like I said earlier. So, you know, if you don't want to do this, I think commercial may be your best option. If the only thing you want to do is put a wrench to a system, maybe go into a commercial or industrial field. But if you plan on doing residential work and you want to be a residential tech and you want to make, you know, six figures, or you want to be, you know, as close to six figures as possible, this is the model, right? This is the way you're going to have to do it. You know, don't get discouraged, man. I mean, initially when I heard this, you know, I was taken aback by all of it. And I remember sitting in a service meeting and, you know, the company that I was with at the time, this is the second company I started working for, and they were pretty much saying that this was going to be the new model going forward. And it kind of pissed me off, because I'm like, man, like I didn't get into the trades to be a sales guy. Like, I didn't get into the trades to have to sell things. And the good thing is, you don't have to sell much if you don't want to. But I will say this, you will limit your ability to progress in the trades, and you will limit the money that you can actually make in the trades. So, I mean, if it's discouraging to you, you know, I don't know what else to tell you, but maybe, you know, like I said, try to move into a commercial industrial application. But if, you know, if you're excited about it, I think you can make a lot of money doing, you know, the right thing and sleep well at night. You don't have to be the guy that snakes the customers, lies to customers to get ahead. Cause I don't do that. So, thank you guys so much for joining me. Hopefully the audio on this one is a little better. I'll be able to, going forward, you know, tweak it as I go. So please bear with me if there is going to be some audio issues, you know, in the next few episodes or so. I got a new preamp and I'm still trying to learn everything. The one I had before was really good, but it was kind of outdated, and I needed something that was going to future date me for the podcast. So I do plan on, you know, trying to incorporate videos and maybe even doing some live feeds and things like that. So the preamp I have now is equipped for that. I just have to be able to learn all that stuff, which, you know, you guys don't care about, but, you know, maybe you do. If you want to start a podcast, hit me up. I can let you know what my setup looks like. And, yeah, man, thank you so much for joining me. You guys have a good one. No intro, no outro music on this one. We're just going to go out like that. All right. Until next time.